You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
And we welcome you back. We're live in Gainesville, Florida, campus University of Florida. We started the show with Tim Tebow. Not a bad way to start any program in Florida. We've been all over the place, been up to Athens and State College. We had Roman Harper on, Scott Strickland, the athletic director here, drop by, and Jordan Rogers is joining us next.
They were telling me to do it, you know. I still don't know who I'm picking tomorrow, though.
I do. We are quarterback heavy. We had Tebow earlier, Steve Spurrier in an hour, and Jordan Rogers now. So, Jordan, let's talk about the quarterback situation with Florida. And, you know, poor Emory Jones. I mean, everyone was excited. Now he's, like, just pushed away so we can talk about Anthony Richardson. I mean, what's going on here?
Look, I did the Florida, FAU game. And, I mean, it was obvious the talent that Anthony Richardson has. He brings a different element. Now, here's what I'll say. It kind of goes back to the conversation I've had with Nick Saban about having a pro-style system. He goes, look, spread's great. Tempo's great, but at some point during a game on third down, you're going to have to be able to solve a problem. And you're also going to be able to have a quarterback and an offense that can go up against anything. So I will say, Anthony Richardson's dynamic. I hope he's healthy enough to go. But Emory Jones is the one that can still work through these progressions. Dan Mullen still feels like he can put plays, concepts, and a game plan out there that has an answer for everything. Now, he needs to play better. He needs to not turn the football over, absolutely. But right now, it's going to be a healthy mix. Emory still gives you the best chance wire to wire, I think, to win this game.
You were down here a couple, I think it was 2 weeks ago, and obviously you've seen the tape on last week. What is he not doing that he needs to do?
Oh, he's just hesitating a little bit. Right now, I mean, I think we have lofty expectations. He's been in the program for a while, but he's a rookie in terms of a starter. So the ability to sustain focus for four quarters and also the ability to anticipate comes with repetition. He's been in a system where he's had a package of plays and a handful that he can master. Now he's got the entire playbook that he's got to know inside and out and anticipate. He hasn't been deciding to go to the wrong route or reading things wrong. He's just been a little late on some of those throws, and he's hesitant. He's got to anticipate better. He's got to get more comfortable, and Dan's got to continue to find what he is comfortable with.
Now, Anthony Richardson has looked great.
Yeah.
But he's up against Alabama tomorrow.
Yeah.
What do you think he's going to look like against an elite team?
So here's what I'll say. So Anthony has 6 completions on the year, and they've been big-time completions. But all 6 have come on one-read plays. 4 of those shot plays where the designed route is what he threw, and for the most part, they were wide open except for one throw. All good throws, but what I'm trying to paint a picture here for you, the 2 other completions were bubble screens. So Richardson has been asked to look at a guy and throw to a guy, and he's done a really good job, and he's super talented, and he's dynamic running the football. But Alabama, you can't do that against Alabama. You can't design a play and go, this is going to be the guy that's open. It doesn't work like that. Alabama makes you play left-handed. They take away where you want to go with the football. You're going to have to be able to move on through progressions. Anthony may be able to do that. He just hasn't been asked to do that yet. I don't think he will against Alabama. I think that's Emory's job. Richardson will be brought in to mix it up with his athleticism if he's healthy and to take a few shots downfield.
I know that you understand it, and we think we do as fans, but when he is, you know, it's one thing against the opposition that he's been in, and you know they're okay, but what happens tomorrow when he tries? He won't try the same thing, I hope. But what is he seeing that he hasn't seen before?
Well, here's the issue, and I remember going up against Alabama for the very first time. Really, Actually, it was right before I was in a similar situation. I was actually splitting time with Larry Smith back in the day, who was the starter. And we went to Alabama, and it was my first time extended time. I played about three quarters that game. And I remember watching film that week and realizing that when you watch Alabama, you don't know what coverage it's going to be before the snap because it's man match. And for people that don't know what that means is depending on what the offense does, it can kind of be man and it can kind of be zone. So for a quarterback, it's really hard to tell pre-snap who's going to be where and why they're going to be where. So it makes you think a lot. Fans didn't like my explanation. They were laughing at something else. But Alabama's very tough pre-snap. So for a young quarterback, you don't trust what you see pre-snap. So again, if Richardson plays, and when he plays, it'll be shot plays, it'll be gadget plays, it'll be using his mobility, because I think that's the wheelhouse that you need to keep him in. Otherwise, Alabama can make you pay for looking in the wrong spot as a quarterback.
Let me flip it over. As a quarterback playing in the swamp, I don't know.
I did that too.
I remember the game. And you played pretty well. How do you prepare for that?
Boy, it's an environment unlike any other, and I played at a lot of stadiums, and obviously, you know, when you're Vanderbilt, it's not, you don't always get everybody's loudest, right? But Florida was the single loudest play, the single loudest moment and drive. It was a close game in the fourth quarter when we played here, so it just all nonverbal communication, right? Okay. I mean, back when we huddled, I couldn't even hear myself screaming at my huddle, and our helmets were all jammed together. So what noise does is it takes you out of your process as a quarterback. So it makes you maybe skip something or not think about something or look the wrong way at first. And that's how Alabama beats you before they even start. So for Florida, that noise needs to be a weapon against Bryce Young. Because, look, Bryce is great quarterback. He's great pre-snap. But he hasn't really been in a really adverse environment yet. So that has to be a weapon because it will rattle you a little bit as a quarterback. And that has to be something Florida leans into.
Everyone talks about pumping in noise, trying to simulate. Can you simulate this?
You can simulate the noise. And I was at an Alabama practice last week where it was super loud. I mean, it was annoyingly loud. I couldn't even have a conversation with Cole Kubelik standing next to me. But here's the thing. Noise and pressure are two different things. You can have noise at practice. Okay. But it is absent of the pressure that a big moment brings here in the swamp. So Florida has to simulate that noise. But also, they, as a defense and as a team, have to put pressure on Bryce Young so that that rattles him in some way, right? It's not just the noise. Noise by itself is nothing. Players deal with that all the time. It's all hand signals. It's not a big deal. The pressure that this defense and Todd Grantham puts on Bryce Young has to accompany the noise.
We spent all the time so far talking about this game. I want to zip through a couple of other games quickly. You can't simulate the whiteout either. What's Auburn facing as they get off the bus and onto that field tomorrow night?
Yeah, I mean, it's a crazy environment. And James Franklin, look, he's really good at preparing his teams for the moment. You can have a lot of questions about how they've performed in certain moments, but he'll get his players ready and he'll have that environment ready. All eyes are going to be on Bo Nix. But I would argue that all the pressure is on Mike Bobo.
Okay.
In a good way, right? Because Bo Nix has been bad on the road. 12 of his 13 career interceptions on the road. So Mike Bobo needs to make sure that Bo Nix doesn't feel like he needs to throw on a Superman cape to win this game. This game plan has to be centered around Tank Bigsby, muddying up this game. Make this a physical, dirty football game. Make sure that Bo Nix knows, I don't have to make these every crazy throw. I don't have to, every pass play doesn't have to be a touchdown. He needs to play within the system. And in order to do that, Mike Bobo's got to make him comfortable. He's got to have preached that all week in practice. He's got to make sure that Tank Bigsby is the focal point early to set the tone. Because otherwise, Bo Nix is going to get into a situation where he's going to make mistakes. And if you make mistakes and turn the ball over there, that's how Auburn loses.
Game in Athens. Carolina fans excited. They haven't been in a position like this in a while. They know they won there 2 years ago. What do they have to do to make this interesting tomorrow night?
Is J.C. Horn playing? Is Israel Mukwamu playing? I think they're missing a few guys that really helped the last time they won that football game. Look, this team and Shane Beamer has to just get a competitive fire out of this team because Georgia's a much better football team. Georgia's going to win this football game. Georgia has a lot of questions. South Carolina needs to learn how to compete in these moments, raise their level of play, find leadership, find a fire. But if I'm Georgia, can I just say, like, can the real Georgia offense stand up? Because I don't know who they are, right? And I don't, frankly, I don't care if it's Stetson Bennett. I don't care if it's Carson Beck. I don't care if it's JT Daniels. I do not care. Show me who you're going to be against Arkansas. Show me who you're going to be against Auburn. Show me who you're going to be at the end of the year, because you can't just figure that out then. Are you going to be a downhill play action based around your strength of the running backs? Are you going to be spread team when JT's healthy and back in the game? I don't know. Pick one, because your defense is going to take you all the way, but that offense is going to be what makes or breaks you. And right now, I look at it and I go, their best player is a tight end from Napa, California. He's a great player, but you got to focus on some of the other talent you have around you and build the offense to do so.
Jordan Rodgers, quite an interesting analysis. We'll see more of Jordan tomorrow morning on SEC Nation. Jordan, thanks. Great stuff. We are back to Gainesville in a moment. Steve Spurrier, an hour away. A lot of guests will be dropping by as we continue right here.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Steve Spurrier, he is, 45 minutes away, and we always enjoy visiting with the legendary coach, the greatest coach ever on this campus, and not a bad player either. He only won the Heisman Trophy about 50-some-odd years ago. Let's get to the calls, and Kyle is up next. Kyle, good afternoon.
Hey, Paul, how are you?
Kyle, we are doing great. Thank you.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
I couldn't tell if you were in Gainesville or at the circus with all them clowns behind you. But as y'all, everybody already knows, when it comes to college football, especially in the SEC for the last decade, Alabama has been the standard, and everybody knows Alabama has been the best team. The last three recruiting classes, Alabama 1, 2, and 1. As everybody knows, and Florida fans should know by now, there's no rebuilding in Alabama. We just reload. So tomorrow, when everybody's sitting in the swamp, get ready for a blowout. Don't waste your time. And to all the Florida fans around the world, get that gator tail down!
Wow, that was exciting. Stetson is up next. Hey, Stetson.
Hey, Paul. Just wanted to say that you've done a great job at displaying what the University of Florida is all about. With
thank you. It's always a thrill to be here.
With what you're putting on with Tim Tebow and having Steve Spurrier there, and one of the people that I think is the unsung hero of the world is Scott Strickland and the athletic department. They've taken Florida. I mean, from nowhere back in the early 80s to an elite school.
Well, let me give a little credit here. I mean, Jeremy Foley was the athletic director before Scott. He was often considered among the premier people. And Scott is, I don't think there's any question, Scott's one of the top athletic directors in the country. He was regarded that way. Even at Mississippi State, he's been at Auburn and Kentucky and so many other places as an assistant. But what I was struck by was the reputation of this university as from an academic standpoint. I've always known it was good, but you know, finishing
the
top five
in
public.
My girls couldn't get in. It killed me.
it's always had that rep, and I'm even in my field. Journalism, it's regarded among the very best as well.
My first wife went through the journalism school there and did very well with it. But anyhow, I wanted to say that you've done a great job displaying who the University of Florida is. And one thing that I would like to point out as an old Gator fan, I've watched Alabama. I've probably watched Alabama more than I've watched Florida growing up, because you couldn't see it when I was a kid. There was no television for your hometown team.
All right.
Until probably the 80s. And you had to have a big game, like Alabama go down to the Orange Bowl and that sort of thing. And that was the game that you got to see. And, you know, what kind of struck me was when they keep going with the, you know, Alabama has never done anything but destroy Florida. I had to go back through the history of this and really put some perspective to it. That 1991 game, Alabama, I've seen Alabama play great for a long, long time. They lost one bad game in the Orange Bowl to Nebraska.
Right.
I believe it was 42-7.
Yeah, that was a 1971 season.
Yeah. Do you know in 1991, Florida beat them 35-0?
Oh, I do remember that game very well, yes.
And I never see anything about it in all the promos and stuff.
No, you're right. I distinctly remember that game, and Alabama had won the year before, I believe. I'm trying to remember. Florida had won the year before.
Fan of that coach.
Yeah, no. Let me correct myself. Florida won the year before in Tuscaloosa, and Spurrier has often said that was the breakthrough game of his tenure, because I was in his office. I was in his office not that long ago, and he's still got that football from that game in his office. That's how important it was.
The funny thing about Steve Spurrier, he came to University of Florida, and everybody wanted to beat Georgia. Everybody wanted to beat Florida State. They were our big rivals. Everybody wanted to beat Tennessee. But he said, that's not what we have to do. If we want to be anybody, we have to beat Alabama. And I believe they beat them like 10-7 or some really close.
Yeah,
game.
It was I remember the game.
Season game.
Exactly. It was as good as that win was in 91. The revenge game in 92 was even better for Alabama.
That was for the
SEC championship.
The championship game.
Yeah,
that was. Boy, that was incredible. I was dying. I was listening to it on the radio when they got that interception.
Antonio Langham.
Yes, sir. Yeah, they've had some great history. But I want to thank you for portraying the University of Florida in all the light that you have, and thank you, sir. Paul, we appreciate what you do. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And I'm really glad. This is the third week of the season, but this is only our second campus visit. And I will tell you, we all had issues last fall. I mean, we were glad we had a football season. But not being able to do what we're doing today every week. I mean, we really view this Friday show not only as a preview of the weekend, which we do. I mean, we go around every big game and talk to reporters and talk to the big analysts. But it's also a celebration of what we do here from an academic and an athletic standpoint, to be able to be on a campus like this on a really nice afternoon. And it is truly remarkable. And, it's one of the many things that we missed from last year. Let's
it's coming across in your show, and I hope that your entire season is like this at all the SEC schools. Thank you.
You've been it's been fantastic talking to you. You bet, Stetson. Good to hear
thank
from you.
Thank you.
All the best. Buddy is up next. Hey, Buddy.
Hey, Paul. How you doing today?
Buddy, we are doing great. Thank you.
First of all, I want to say I think it's going to be an upset in the swamp. This is going to be Bryce Young's first trip to the swamp. And he's going to find out what the swamp's all about. And the second thing, a couple of guys called in yesterday. They were saying to Alabama's going to stump a mud hole in Florida. Well, first of all, that's not going to happen. But I agree with them 100% that they will probably stump a mud hole because it's supposed to rain tomorrow evening. So that's the only mud hole they're going to stomp. It's not going to be Florida.
That's great.
All eyes on the Gators. Go Gators. And Bounds in for an upset.
Well, thank you very much for the call. Appreciate it. It's been a busy one. We will continue. Many more guests remaining here. I mentioned Coach Spurrier. Also, Chris Doering, who only considered among the greatest players in Florida history, the great wide receiver for Steve Spurrier. They're the guests in the final hour. More of your phone calls here at 855-242-7285 as we continue live in Gainesville.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We are live on the campus of Gatorland. Actually, it's the University of Florida. There's a gator we're showing there. I don't know if that was that a real gator or not.
It looks a little stagnant to be real, right?
Well, I'm sorry. Was it a former, like a dead gator? I don't know.
Oh, are you saying are we got like taxidermy going on?
I don't know. Every time I come to Florida, somebody's like tries to get me to pet their gator.
Hey, by the way, tune into SEC Nation tomorrow because we're going to try to get Paul to pet a bunch of gators. We got live gators coming to the show tomorrow.
I mean, I like when I get to mix with the Bulldogs or the Blue Tick Hounds.
You like a live mascot. You're here for that.
I'm not really all in on this gator stuff down here. I know this is your school.
Come on, Paul. Stand up.
Oh, by the way, this is Laura Rutledge, in case you were wondering.
Let's go, Paul. We're in Gainesville, my home.
I know.
I'm glad to be back amongst my people. Yeah. Miss you guys. I mean, there's some Alabama people here, too.
I don't want to diminish her current standing as the grand dame of television. But are you young people aware that Laura Rutledge was once Miss Florida?
Oh, my goodness. No. Wow. He got the year right. 2012.
2012.
It's been a long time. Now I'm just an old fart like you.
Yeah. I was Mr. Tennessee once.
What year?
1937. Anyway, yeah. It's great to hear. I never know what to do with these segments.
I know. No, we never do. And we just, throw some things up against the wall and see what sticks and what doesn't. And we're still workshopping our routine here.
Yeah, I mean, I'm cool and relaxed. I mean, you've already done NFL Live.
Yeah.
Good Morning America.
Hey, I felt like
The View. I mean, this is relaxing to me.
I know. I'm jealous of your job. So, but when we were doing our shows, we had like a dueling show situation inside in there because of the rain. So I was on one side of this curtain and you were on the other side. Was I talking too loud? I felt like I was interrupting your show a little bit. I'm sorry. Oh, you guys heard me? Paul. I'm sorry.
Somebody tweeted. Somebody tweeted at us and said, "I don't know who that annoying Gator fan is, but she sounds like my first wife."
why are you talking about the Seattle Seahawks?
Was the rest of the crew at a bar in Manhattan or something? Is that why you were yelling so loud?
I don't know, Paul.
I think it's the difference between a laid-back, relaxing show like this is and a high-strung,
I'm really trying to push the pace there, you know? I got all excited. It is funny. You do a great job of never talking too loud, unless somebody makes you mad, which
happens. I think this is why I've never made it in the industry, because I don't sound like your typical ESPN anchor.
You mean you don't yell and scream and have – we had a whole breakdown.
I used to sit up there in Bristol, and then I'm just like, what's with this guy? He's just so relaxed.
Yeah. I think it's actually your greatest quality. It's part of your charm. You're very nonplussed. Nothing's really going to bother you one way or the other. And it's why your show works so well, because any fan can call in and say whatever they want, and it's really not going to affect you.
But there's still some people who don't think the show's going to make it because I don't have that.
Yeah, you know what? I'm one of those people some days, but most of the days I believe in you.
Thank you. It
is interesting, though, that somebody tweeted that, because somebody tweeted me asking why they would be watching NFL Live when they could instead be watching Paul Feinbaum, to which I said, just tune in to the SEC Network. You had way more fans than I did. The fan breakdown was definitely geared toward you. Nobody wanted to
be over
with you.
I did feel, for those who don't know what we're talking about, I'll explain.
There was
lightning in the area. And nothing gets our executives more revved
as if
up
you're going to be struck by lightning. Right, exactly.
I mean, I've done 10,000 shows outside, and I've never been struck by lightning yet. And I wasn't going to be struck by it today. But
no, it wasn't going to happen.
I don't know if this is a University of Florida rule. I don't know if it's a Disney rule.
No, yeah.
I don't know if it's a Taliban rule.
It's a rule of Mother Nature, Paul.
But if there is lightning within 8 miles, then we go. Yeah. We're like the Atlanta airport. We go on a 30-minute lockdown, no flights
so
in or out. So we spent the first 2 hours here.
In Library West.
Yeah.
It's a library, and I'm just yelling in the library. I'm sorry.
And again, we're all trying to do the best we can to subscribe to COVID rules.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
That wasn't really it.
But we're in a room. We're in a small room with about 150 people. I'm just explaining in case Laura and I are not here next week.
Pray for us. Please pray for us.
And it was pretty stifling.
Paul.
But to our crew's credit, they got
they
your show
job.
On.
Yeah.
And they got this show on.
They're amazing. Paul, I wondered what it would be like for you to come here after all of your really strong takes favoring Alabama this week. Has anyone said anything to
you? I don't think any of these people know that.
Oh, guys, what did you say? Alabama's going to win by 3 touchdowns?
No, I never said that. I did not say I never said 3 touchdowns.
This guy.
I said somewhere between 2 and 3 touchdowns.
Oh, yeah. Uh-oh.
In all candor, folks, I have not predicted this game. And I say a bunch of stuff during the week when I'm on shows like Laura.
He forgets what he says.
I just throw stuff out. But I very well could pick the Raiders tomorrow.
Well, he might. You got to tune in to SEC Nation to find out. Paul's going to have Paul's pick at the end of the show. You know, last week, your pick was pretty dramatic. You were right, by the way. Arkansas won, and you threw that Texas helmet
Here's the part that I'm uncomfortable with. It was a spur-of-the-moment deal. Anyone who watched it knows it wasn't scripted, because I didn't know what I was doing.
I also thought you weren't going to be able to get the helmet off the mannequin.
I wasn't either.
Yeah. You're really strong, but you know.
Here I am in front of millions of people, and I'm like, what if I don't get the helmet off? And then I would just say, I'm picking Arkansas. I'm picking Texas. I'm picking whatever. What I did was I grabbed the, for those who didn't see it, and I don't know how you couldn't,
it's viral. It's been everywhere.
14 billion views.
Yeah, absolutely. Aliens have seen it.
I picked it up, and I threw a helmet. This was an official, I don't know what kind
of. So bad.
The University of Texas helmet.
Somebody was going to wear that helmet.
Yeah. So you joke with me. I'm at the airport other day.
I wasn't joking.
And you said, that's going to cost you.
Yeah, I said, Paul, you're going to have to pay for it. We have been invoiced for that helmet.
So I get here today in Gainesville. This is backstage at SEC Nation. And I find out that the University of Texas.
Yeah, it's true.
The University of Texas, which is worth more than Saudi Arabia.
We've gone very international in this segment here with some of the things. Yeah.
Is sending us a bill. Let's see.
Do we still have the helmet? They've got it on TV.
We'll replay this. I just want to set this story up for those who missed it.
Yeah.
End of the show, I make a prediction. Here it is.
Paul, see, that's where I thought you weren't going to get it off. Oh, you got it, though. Good job, Paul. And then, boom! Oh!
Okay, so Laura, I throw a helmet into a parking lot.
Yeah. Yeah, it didn't go well for them.
And
helmet.
I'm not sure. I'm not trying. I mean, I am so happy the University of Texas is coming into the SEC.
We can't wait. It's going to be so much fun.
And I've read that they may spend $60 or $80 million to get out of their.
Yeah, court. But you're painting for their helmet.
So I find out today. You go ahead and tell the audience what you told me at our meeting.
Yeah. So I mean, I asked about it because to me this is just the thing. These are the things that entertain me, as you well know. Anything that's going to be funny with Paul, I'm all in. Like, where are we at on this helmet thing? Oh, yeah, we've been invoiced. So that bill is going to you. Now, here's what I don't know. I don't know how much it costs. So you have to, like...
Well, a helmet would cost a couple $100s, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Do you have that? You want me to...
I don't.
Ask the crowd...
Here's what I don't understand. So, not to turn this into a clinical analysis, like...
Well, I think we already have.
Watching Wall Street Week on Friday. The Dow Jones was up 114 points.
The market's already closed today, so we're good.
Okay, if I damaged that helmet by throwing it down, what would have happened if a Texas offensive lineman had been wearing it as the Arkansas Razorbacks blew them up on Saturday night?
Oh, Paul. Savage. Savage. So basically what you're saying is you did them a service, right?
I don't know how
someone
of my physique
Paul
throwing a helmet –
As
8 feet. Now it did. I heard it did roll it up against the fence.
Word is, it rolled.
Why would that damage the helmet?
Well, so because here's what you don't realize. You actually have brute strength. You actually, as much as it may look like we have the same size arm, you are way stronger than me. Let's actually put our arms together.
I think we have
the same size. Here's the reality. You're stronger than you realize. I've seen it when it comes to moving barricades with your bare hands and throwing helmets. And by the way, we're going to have to see what you do tomorrow. You may be actually wrestling with a gator,
a live gator.
You guys, it's going to be great. The Gators probably going to win that. But
well, anyway, I want to tell my friends at the University of Texas, don't send ESPN the bill, okay?
Send it. Give out your address.
We don't want anyone to think ESPN and Texas are in cahoots on anything.
No!
Send me the bill. And I will start a GoFundMe page. I have a sneaking suspicion that from the state of Arkansas,
we might get some donations.
We can raise the money. I mean, you
huge
talk
win.
About Walmart headquartered there, Tyson Foods, J.B. Hunt Trucking, three Fortune 500 companies, including the biggest retail company in the world.
I think we're good, right?
We're good. And by the way, I'll put $5 in.
Okay, I do know that you're good for $5. I'm not sure about much more than that.
I don't want to go 300, but I'll put 5 in. Can I count you in for?
You know what? I'm put 10 in.
You put
one for me and one for Tusk. $5 for me, $1 $5 for Tusk. Okay. I love Tusk.
We could do this all day. Have we ever had our own show?
We tried, but okay, they didn't like
canceled.
It. So
I said we like the blonde, we just don't like the old guy.
No, they said the blonde has too much hair, and she's not a real blonde, obviously. And the old guy is perfect in every way.
Yeah, but
GoFundMe.
We'll put. He's not going to be around long. He's too old. And we're still here. That was 5 years ago.
Who would have thunk? How do they keep letting us do this? Every week, I think I'm going to get kicked off this show.
We got to make way for Marty Smith.
Marty!
It's like the story of your life. We'll be right back.
That's too good.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
The Marty party has
Come
arrived.
On, people! And I was saying in the break to Paul, you guys, like, how am I supposed to follow Laura? How did I draw that short straw? America's sweetheart, and then me. Come on, man.
You should try doing shows with her. I know you have.
Yeah.
But I did. We did a show one fall, and everybody says, "Can you introduce me to Laura?"
Yeah, exactly.
I said, "Yeah, I'll be more than happy." I mean, Laura trumps Tebow in a game of celebrity poker when it comes to SEC fans. Well, not really, but that's, I just decided to say that.
I say all the time. I mean, we have two really famous people at ESPN,
and the rest of us.
And then there's the rest of us.
Marty, I know
I'm happy to be a rest of
it. Yeah, that's our life. We're
you
just
too, bro.
Oh, those guys. So you spent the week in Birmingham?
I spent Wednesday there.
Wednesday.
Yeah, I was just so impressed with the way that Tulane and its entire athletic department has managed the aftermath of Hurricane Ida. Of course, as you know, I'm sure you've reported. Actually, I think you had Coach Fritz on, didn't you? And they evacuated and activated that plan that they put in place after Katrina all those years ago to leave New Orleans and make their way to Birmingham. And Birmingham opened its arms, and the Roll Tide opened its doors to Tulane to use the facilities there. And so I went into the hotel in the Sheraton there where they've lived for the last now 20 days or 21 days. They thought they were staying for three. They packed clothes for three.
Wow.
And so it's been such a unique operation for them to make their way through this. And I went and immersed myself in that operation. And they have such a beautiful spirit, man. It has not affected them. They do want to go the heck home.
Yeah.
But they are still so full of joy. And as we know, almost beat Oklahoma. And they beat the brakes off Morgan State. And I think they're going to give Ole Miss all they want.
Yeah, I would think this game is going to be on a lot of upset alert categories. Not only that, we're in Florida, of course. And, yeah, there are a lot of great musicians that come from these parts. But you're also going to talk about Tom Petty tomorrow.
Yeah, we did a feature. It'll air on Nation. It'll air on College Game Day about how Tom Petty, native son here of Gainesville, his spirit just weaves through this town. And after he passed, of course, the tradition began with "I Won't Back Down." It's the beginning of the fourth quarter. And it's become one of those moments, you know, if you're in Blacksburg, it's Enter Sandman. If you're in Camp Randall, it's Jump Around. If you're in T-Town, it's Dixieland Delight. And there are those certain songs that are the fabric of that fan base, calling Baton Rouge down in Death Valley. And here it's "I Won't Back Down." And it's just so cool. We talk to people in the community about what he means to this community and how his spirit lives here. It's just a really cool story.
Yeah, and I think everyone here knew about it, but when he passed away, there was suddenly that connection to Gainesville. A lot of folks who travel SEC circles really did not were not cognizant of.
What an icon. If you are somebody, and I'll just say this like about you, right? The impact that you've had with this show for so long, I can't imagine how many people walk up to you and say, "You speak for me." That's like the ultimate endorsement, right? That's such a wonderful blessing if somebody walks up and says that, and that is what that man is to this town and this community. Every word, they feel like he spoke for them, and what a beautiful legacy.
I think you really touched on something, because I mean, you can go into a lot of SEC towns. Obviously, when we go to Athens, there's countless musicians from there. Knoxville, Kenny Chesney, to say the least. And that's just starting the list. And I know you're so immersed in the music industry with so many friends of yours. It is interesting to think about, and I don't think I'm glad to see you doing, because I don't think we pay enough attention to that.
You know, I say all the time, I really believe there's only a handful of professions that can save a life. Doctors, of course, EMTs, first responders, nurses. But I swear songwriters are one of those, because so often if we feel alone or we feel isolated, we can't say it, they'll say it for us. and they'll be that vehicle to carry whatever that emotion is. And he certainly was that here.
It is a unique experience. I had a really well-known songwriter. I mean, he, you know, a little more in the past, but I mean, he had number one hits with Ronnie Millsap and countless other guys. And he called me. He called the show one day. And we started, and I had met him at something that Randy Owen had put on from the group Alabama.
Legend, yes, sir.
And he said, yeah, and I started going crazy about, I love songwriting. And so he said, let's write a song. And anyway, we went up to Muscle Shoals one day, and we did it. And it was one of the most interesting experiences to be with a real professional. And I'm telling you something that you already know, but... It was one of those bucket lists that I wrote a country song. Nobody's ever heard it, but it was fun.
The amazing magic of their ability is this.
Oh, yeah.
They can tell an entire story in 2.5 minutes. They can save a life in 2.5 minutes.
Right.
And it's just a brilliant talent, and I don't know what I'd do without it. I mean, being around those race cars all those years, my hearing's going, man. I'm worried about that.
You're young, Marty. Just wait, okay? Hey, thanks.
Y'all come out to the show tomorrow. We'll be right there. Somewhere.
The Marty Party. We got to talk more about this music thing in the future. Marty Smith joining us. Marty and McGee tomorrow morning. When we come back, former Heisman Trophy winner Steve Spurrier.
He did a pretty good job. Laura before me, Spurrier after me.